it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Local people, local stories. From KYW News Radio, this is the All Local.
From the Delaware Valley Honda Studios, get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. I'm KYW News Radio's David Ash, and here's what's happening. The New Jersey gubernatorial candidates, Democrat Mikey Sherrill and Republican Jack Cittarelli, traded barbs on stage, laying out vastly different visions for the state at the second and final debate before early voting starts in 2 weeks. KYW's Nigel Thompson has this recap.
Energy prices, taxes, the government shutdown, immigration, Democrat Mikey Sherrill's military records, and Republican Jack Cittarelli's cautious relationship with President Trump all took center stage at Rutgers University during the final New Jersey gubernatorial debate that aired on WPVI and WABC Wednesday night. Cittarelli started strong, hammering Sherrill's plan for a state of emergency declaration to freeze energy hikes.
My opponent has put forth an illegitimate plan that isn't feasible. Even the governor, a member of her own party, has said that I don't really think you can do that.
But he had trouble answering questions about President Trump, something Sherrill has keyed on as Trump's popularity has fallen in New Jersey.
He's shown zero signs of standing up to this president. In fact, the president himself called Jack 100% MAGA.
Sherrill was on the defense when her military records were brought up. Obtained by mistake by Cittarelli's campaign, it revealed she never walked at her Naval Academy graduation after a massive cheating scandal.
I didn't turn in some of my classmates, so I didn't walk at graduation because I come from an incredibly accountable place.
Which Cittarelli challenged with Sherrill's own words.
Mikey said that she was the most transparent gubernatorial candidate of all time. If she's so transparent, then approve the release of her disciplinary records at the Naval Academy so we can know why it is that she was punished.
I'm Nigel Thompson, KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM.
Day 100 of the Pennsylvania state budget impasse saw the state house send a second general funding bill to the state senate. KYW Suburban Bureau Chief Jim Melwert reports.
House Appropriations Committee Minority Chair Republican Jim Struzzi says while House Republicans want an agreed-upon budget, they cannot support a 118-page plan they got about an hour before the vote.
We don't know where these revenues are going to come from. We don't know what policy is in this.
Committee Majority Chairman Philadelphia Democrat Jordan Harris says everything in the plan's been discussed for months, and this one makes additional cuts to Governor Shapiro's proposal, but
folks are willing to see the infrastructure of our government start to crumble for reasons that are beyond the actual policies that are before us.
Earlier in the day at a press conference, House Majority Leader Montgomery County Democrat Matt Bradford said the Senate Republican caucus was unable to get 26 of its 28 members to support a plan because, as Bradford puts it, they're more interested in trying to chip away at Governor Shapiro's 60% approval rating heading into next year's gubernatorial race than doing their job. House Republican Leader Jesse Topper says expenditures in Democrats' proposals are still too high compared to projected revenue. Jim Melwert, KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM.
As the government shutdown continues, travelers have been experiencing flight delays at airports throughout the country due to air traffic controller shortages. But Philly International has been holding up well so far, as we hear from KYW's John McDevitt.
It's a pretty normal day. No issues with staffing.
Mike Christine, Eastern Regional Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, says Wednesday was an average day at PHL. There were some weather-related delays earlier in the day, but other than that, operations were normal. There were no mass callouts like at several other airports in the country, causing flight delays. Christine says the controllers want to be left out of politics and want the shutdown to end so they can get paid.
We have arguably one of the most stressful jobs in our nation. Throw on to that with not knowing when you're going to get a next paycheck. It's a major distraction on a job that's difficult as it is.
Christine says as the shutdown drags on, controllers are making decisions on what to do without to make ends meet.
Am I going to be able to send my child to daycare, right? Or am I going to have to stay home because I don't have the money to pay the bills? That's the challenge during a government shutdown.
John McDevitt, KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM.
In sports, the Phillies live to fight another night. They take down the Los Angeles Dodgers 8-2 at Dodger Stadium in finally see the ball clear the fence a few times. KYW's Vic Ragapathy sums it all up.
It felt like the same old song and dance for the first three innings of Game 3 in L.A. The Phils are hitless one time through the order, and the Dodgers took a 1-0 lead when Tommy Edman took the first pitch Ranger Suarez has thrown in a week and a half deep. But in the fourth, Kyle Schwarber tied it with the Phils' first homer this postseason. A couple singles, an error, and a sac fly made it 3-1, which it remained for three more innings. In the top of the eighth, with future Hall of Famer Clayton Kershaw on the mound, the dam burst. The other side of the ball, Aaron Nola delivers two scoreless innings and passes the baton to Suarez, who didn't yield any more runs after that first pitch. Range earns the win, meanwhile losing pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto gives up three across four innings, and the Phillies have life for at least one more night. First pitch at Chavez Ravine scheduled for 6:08 Eastern. Vic Ragapathy, KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
Game 4 will be carried right here on KYW News Radio. And that's the All Local. I'm David Ash. Listen live anytime on the Odyssey app and on your smart speaker. Just say play KYW News Radio.
The All Local is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter. With high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design, plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HR-V.
See dealer for financing details.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.